Welcome to Unit 5, HIT Design for Teamwork and Communication. The objective for Unit 5A is to assess the impact of teamwork and communication on patient safety and care coordination. Effective teamwork and communication are absolutely critical for ensuring the safe and reliable delivery of healthcare. Healthcare is the product of many diverse disciplines that are united in a common purpose: to deliver healthcare that is safe, effective, timely, patient-centered, efficient, and equitable. To do so, they need to coordinate their efforts, to collaborate, and to communicate with each other.
In the clinical IT world, we have been given a prime directive. National efforts are rapidly underway to implement electronic health records by 2014. As a result of the high-tech provisions of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, all eligible providers and hospitals must demonstrate that they are using electronic health records in a meaningful way, as defined by set criteria. Failure to do so will result in inability to qualify for incentive payments for the next few years, but, more importantly, the imposition of financial penalties in 2015. The goals for meaningful use highlight the importance of effective communication and coordination of care in improving quality, safety, and efficiency of care. Care in all settings must support effective communication, which is a necessary prerequisite to improving care coordination, engaging patients and families, ensuring privacy and security protections, reducing disparities, and ultimately improving quality, safety, and efficiency of care. For this reason, HIT professionals must understand the importance of designing systems to support these goals. In 2003, the Institutes of Medicine issued a consensus report on priorities necessary to transform healthcare quality. Care coordination was identified as the number one priority for national action. This priority area relates to all aspects of healthcare, from acute to chronic to preventive to end of life. Over 100 million Americans have some type of chronic condition, with about 60 million having more than one. For people with chronic conditions, care coordination across multiple providers is critical. Studies of Medicare patients age 65 and over reveal that the more chronic conditions one has, the greater the numbers of hospitalizations. Clinical integration is essential for care coordination. Clinical integration is the extent to which there is coordination of patient care services across people, functions, and sites over time. Such coordination requires effective information transfer and communication.
My 82-year-old mother was recently readmitted to an acute care hospital within 4 days of her discharge. This had been her second surgery to remove a brain tumor. We had a totally insane experience during her preoperative evaluation, which occurred the day before her surgery was scheduled. My sister and I were told that Mom needed to see 3 doctors from 3 different clinical services: neurosurgery, otolaryngology, and neuro-ophthalmology, as well as have blood tests, a chest x-ray, and a brain scan. The first doctor was behind in seeing his patients, which set the whole schedule into a tailspin. Our appointments were rearranged several times as we walked back and forth between the clinical areas. By the time we arrived at the outpatient brain scanner, the area had closed for the day. We were fortunate that we were able to get her scanned using the inpatient scanner, but only because my sister works at the hospital and knew who to ask. If not, Mom's surgery would have been canceled. Her hospital course was remarkable, in that there was really poor communications between the surgeons and the intensive care doctors about my mother's plan of care. Even when we were transferred to the general care floor, we received conflicting information about her post-hospital care. She was discharged home with a urinary tract infection, developed delirium, and was hospitalized again within 4 days. Her primary care provider never received the discharge summary, so did not have the sufficient information to manage her care. Healthcare has to be better than this.
Ineffective planning and coordination during care transition can lead to medical error and adverse events. This vulnerability is present whether the transition occurs between providers at shift change or during temporary coverage periods, with physical moves of the patient from one care unit or facility to another, or when responsibility for the patient's care changes from one clinical service to another. It is present when the patient is admitted to a facility from home or discharged from hospital care to community-based care. Handoff is the term we use in healthcare for transitions of care from one provider to another provider. During handoff, responsibility for care is transferred from one provider or provider group to another. Hence, timely transfer of accurate patient information is crucial to the receiving provider's ability to provide high-quality, safe care. Communication problems are especially problematic during transitions of care and contribute to 26% to 31% of malpractice cases. In 2003, concerned about medical error caused by fatigue experienced by residents working long hours in hospital settings, the United States mandated reduced resident duty hours. The benefits of this mandate from a patient safety viewpoint are clear. Less tired residents make fewer mistakes. An unanticipated consequence of reduced resident hours, however, is the need for increased handoff and reduced continuity of care. Discontinuity can occur with cross-coverage and night float systems. Researchers have found that discontinuity leads to increased complication rates, preventable, adverse events, and unnecessary tests being done by residents who are not familiar with the patient. Given an average length of stay is 4.8 days, the average patient's care is handed off between covering residents and or attending physicians 5 to 10 times per day. Many of these healthcare communications are interrupted. Concerns about inadequate healthcare handoff have led the Joint Commission to issue a new National Patient Safety Goal in 2006 to improve the effectiveness of communication among caregivers. This goal continues in 2010. Leanne Reisenberg and her colleagues conducted a systematic review of the literature focused on physician handoff and noted 8 barriers to effective handoff. First, barriers such as hierarchy or social barriers, language, ethnic barriers, communication styles, and general communication problems are frequently reported. Next, many hospitals do not have a standardized process or structure, nor do they all require handoff. At times, there is insufficient training or education on how to do an effective handoff. Even when handoffs do occur, they may have incorrect, missing, or incomplete information. There may be distractions and interruptions during the handoff, time constraints, and there may be difficulties due to complexity or high volume of patients. Strategies that have been noted to be successful in improving effectiveness of handoff include a standardized process and content, limiting the hierarchy, training, having a designated location for the handoff with limited interruption, and technology. Julie Apker and her research team conducted a study of the form and content of communications between emergency physicians and admitting physicians. They used audio files of telephone handoff conversations and developed an utterance coding structure. This structure included such content as patient presentation, professional environment. It also includes language form, such as information seeking, information giving, and information verifying. Their analysis revealed that there were differences in the function and emphasis on each patient's specialty. The emergency physician did most of the talking and placed emphasis on immediate care decisions. The hospitalist largely listened and focused on information needed for longer-term inpatient care. Very little information verification occurred, actually less than 1%, and only 8% of utterances involved information seeking. Of note was the fact that there were very few direct statements of acceptance of responsibility for the care of the patient. Many patient transfers occur in inpatient settings each day. As healthcare has grown more complex, information sharing among providers has become more problem-prone. For example, a patient can enter the facility through the emergency department, go directly to the operating room for emergency surgery, leave the operating room for the intensive care unit, develop a complication and go back to the OR, be stabilized, then back to the intensive care unit, then transfer to a general care unit to prepare for discharge home. The patient may have relatively brief encounters with multiple providers in a seemingly disjointed environment. Many organizations are turning to information technology to help bridge communication across this increasingly specialized and fragmented environment. The challenge for health IT professionals is to design and implement technologies to support the many diverse clinical workflows in multiple departments. Ineffective information handoffs are also problematic. To maintain continuity of care, timely information transfer is critical. Nurse-to-nurse handoff is often called report. Failure to provide a timely report causes problems. The researchers observed the following scenario. Once an inpatient bed became available, the emergency department nurse contacted the floor nurse receiving the patient to give report. The floor nurse informed the emergency department nurse that she was too busy with her patient and asked her to call back in 15 minutes. The emergency department nurse called after the specified time and was again told that the receiving nurse was unavailable. When the emergency department nurse was finally able to give report, she forgot to mention that the patient had a special type of IV line, as she was busy with other activities while waiting to give report. This missing information could have increased the risk for medical error. Another observation that was made during information handoff was the deliberate withholding of information, especially when the transfer was to occur close to shift change. Nurses withheld information on patient movement and bed availability for the incoming transfers, resulting in a bottleneck in patient flow and the patient being assigned to a less appropriate unit. Communication deficits and lack of timely transfer of patient information post-hospital discharge are frequent problems in healthcare and may affect the quality and safety of care. The patient's primary care provider resumes responsibility for the patient's care on discharge, yet, in the absence of information regarding the patient's hospital course and discharge instructions, does not have the entire clinical picture. When writing on deficits in communication and information transfer, Sunil Kripalani and his team suggest that timely transfer of accurate, relevant patient data at discharge and arrangements for post-discharge follow-up may improve the continuity of handoff. Kripalani's team examined deficits in communication and information transfer at hospital discharge to identify interventions to improve the process. They reviewed 55 observational studies looking specifically at communication and information transfer at hospital discharge, and 18 controlled studies examining the efficacy of intervention to improve information transfer. They found that direct communication between hospital physicians and primary care providers occurred only 3 to 20% of the time, that the availability of the discharge summary within 1 week of discharge was low, only 12% to 34% of the time, and remained low 4 weeks post-discharge, or 51% to 77% of the time. When present, discharge summaries lacked important clinical information that the primary care provider needed to effectively care for the patient. Poor communication contributed to primary provider dissatisfaction and affected the quality of care in 25% of follow-up visits. There is evidence that a large number of inpatients, nearly half, experience at least one medical error involving medication continuity, diagnostic workup, or test follow-up. A patient's medical regimen may be altered many times while he's in the hospital due to acute illness. On discharge, the decision may have been made to hold or alter the dosage of the patient's usual home medication or to add a new medication that requires laboratory follow-up. It's essential that the primary care provider have access to this new information. While the hospital is required to provide the patient with a new home medication list on discharge, the patient may not remember to bring this list to his primary care follow-up appointment. With shorter lengths of stay, patients and their family members take responsibility for the patient's care a lot earlier and may not see the primary care provider for days to weeks after discharge. If follow-up is not arranged prior to discharge, the patient and or his family may not remember to make the appointment on arriving home. The patient may call the primary care provider before the scheduled appointment with concerns over discharge instructions of which the primary care provider has no firsthand knowledge. Furthermore, the hospital may have misjudged the patient's level of post-discharge social support, and the patient may be unable to follow through on follow-up appointments. Additionally, there may be a disconnect between the patient's understanding of post-hospital instructions and the information that has been provided to the patient before discharge. Oftentimes, instructions are written or printed out without the realization that the patient and his caregivers have limited functional literacy skills, with difficulty reading and understanding medical instructions, medication labels, and appointment slips. In order to evaluate whether electronic health records facilitate or pose challenges to care coordination in the primary care environment, O'Malley and her colleagues conducted telephone interviews of physicians and non-physicians from 26 community practices. They examined the effectiveness of the electronic health record with respect to 6 principal tasks necessary for effective care coordination. they looked at the ability of the electronic health record to maintain patient continuity, to document and compile patient information, and to use information to manage and coordinate care delivered in the primary care practice. This included accessing and assessing patient data, managing and coordinating, and population-based tracking. They also looked at the electronic health record effectiveness with respect to referrals and consultations, sharing care with clinicians across practices and settings, and providing care or exchanging information for transitions and emergency care. They also looked at the electronic health record effectiveness with respect to referrals and consultations, sharing care with clinicians across practices and settings, and providing care or exchanging information for transitions and emergency care. Several themes arose from the data, which revealed that electronic health records both facilitate and challenge coordination of care. First, the use of the electronic health record helped within office care coordination, mostly by providing ready access to patient data during encounters in real time to support patient care decision making and through use of electronic messaging. Second, due to the lack of standardization of key data elements required for health information exchange, electronic health records in provider practices were less able to support coordination between providers and settings. When systems were interoperable, however, the ability to initiate, communicate, and track referrals and consultations was greatly enhanced. Third, managing the sheer volume of information and overflow was especially challenging. For example, there was repetitive content of notes and inappropriate use of templates that made it difficult to identify important clinical information. Technology is limited in its ability to capture decision-making and future care plans, such as specific target goals to be achieved over time. For example, it was difficult to track progress towards goals and preventive and chronic care services for each patient. Lastly, simply designing EHRs for billing purposes will not ensure clinical relevance to patients and care coordination. Coordination of care requires highly effective teams who optimize the use of information, people and resources to achieve the best clinical outcomes for patients. They eliminate barriers to quality and safety. Communication has been said to be the lifeline of a well-functioning team. Teamwork cannot occur without effective communication.